Welcome to Money Sense. My name is Amy Bremer, a wealth services advisor and certified financial planner here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Joining me today is Faith Ryder from the Ellen Becker marketing team. Today, we're going to be discussing how to make your kid rich on a dollar a day. Faith, welcome.
Thanks, Amy. I'm so excited to be here.
Great. I'm glad that you're here. So Faith, normally you're behind the scenes, but we're happy to have you here on camera. Thank you kindly for joining me.
Of course.
And the reason I asked you here today is you and your husband are expecting.
Yes, we are.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
When is baby making his or her arrival?
August 4th, give or take.
So. Oh, summer baby. Very exciting.
Yes.
Very exciting. Yeah. So I wanted to talk with you today because years ago, like 10 years ago, I read this article on MarketWatch and it's literally titled How to Make Your Kid Rich on a Dollar a Day. And I thought it was so timely because you're having a baby. And I wanted just to share this with you.
Yes. Yeah. It's absolutely top of mind. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of things floating around in your head when you're expecting your first baby. So, you know, let's dive into some of the financial best practices for expecting parents.
That's awesome. So the first thing is, what is this? So I'm talking about the time value of money. A dollar invested today is much stronger than a dollar invested 5, 10, 20 years from now because it has a longer time to grow. So what we're looking at here is the time value of money. You get a big bang for a small buck because of time. So this is kind of the thought process is, full disclosure, I never had a baby, but my brother had 5 of them. So I was the really cool aunt that bought all the plastic toys, the Legos, the Barbie dolls, all this stuff. And the kids loved it, like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became, you know, the kids missed the Lego pieces and the thing broke or the Barbies lost a shoe and it just kind of ended up in the recycle bin. So instead of getting plastic toys from grandma and grandpa and aunties and uncles and things, you could ask for donations to this dollar a day account, which we're going to detail in a little bit, and invest for your child's future, which is really exciting.
I love that. So in preparation of today's episode, I was, you know, looking up some stats of what first-time parents can expect. And, you know, there's healthcare costs, there's childcare, daycare expenses, there's like so much baby gear things that we were putting on a registry, right? And it does all stack up. So I love your idea of over time, you know, a dollar a day doesn't seem like very much, mm-hmm. but it is very overwhelming when you're entering that phase of, I have all of these big costs that are coming in the first few years of the baby's life. Mm-hmm. And you might not want to think about investing. It just seems like, you know, a second priority, mm-hmm. if you so, you know, will. But I was looking up some stats and I find it interesting that in 2026, did you know that infant daycare averages about $17,000 a year.
17 grand?
17,000 is the current national average, which is about 300% higher than in 1990. So parents, grandparents, when you hear your adult children talking about the burden of, you know, child rearing, it is very real in today's economic climate. So this conversation really couldn't be more perfectly timed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, being young parents, you probably have a mortgage and maybe a car payment and maybe some student loan debt. And now you're $17,000 a year for childcare and diapers. You have a lot of competing goals. So I could totally see how investing for baby's future is the very, very last train car on a train of all your competing goals.
Absolutely. And to add to that, we live in this digital age where you hop on Instagram, social mm-hmm. media, and there's a million pieces of advice of what you should be doing or different avenues. So I'm really excited to get your take on where should we be placing mm-hmm. some of this money or what are the little small things that we can do mm-hmm. with the margin that we have mm-hmm. To kind of build this wealth and create wealth long lasting for our children.
Yeah. And not just you, like I mentioned earlier, parents, grandparents, aunties and uncles, my husband and I actually do this for our friend's son. So we, instead of buying him presents every year for Christmas and birthday, we put money in his account with the intention of following what I'm about to tell you. So it's kind of exciting in practice.
Okay.
And little Kemper is 3-4 years old. He just had a birthday. He's up 20%.
Wow.
Yeah. She's doing pretty good. Not bad.
That's so great.
Thanks for joining us on Money Sense. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Want to keep building wealth that aligns with your values? New episodes of Money Sense drop weekly. Subscribe now and continue learning how your money, your choices, and your life can work together.
Welcome back. Faith, Let's get into the numbers.
All right.
Don't math, be overwhelmed.
My favorite subject as the marketer here.
Touché, my friend. Touché. So I rounded some of these numbers to make it easier to digest as people are listening to us, because if I rattle off all the numbers and the pennies, it's going to get overwhelming. So first, really high level, and then getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the details. The first thing that families want to do is open an UPMA account. So you're probably saying, Amy, what's an UPMA account?
Precisely.
Okay. And UTMA is an acronym. It's UTMA. It stands for Uniform Transfer to Minor Account. You can open this account at a bank. The account can be a checking account. It could be a savings account. But what we want you to do here is open the account with Charles Schwab. And then Ellen Becker can come over the top like a puppet on a string and control what happens in the account as the bucket. So Charles Schwab is the bucket. And then we're on the top as Ellen Becker Investment Group, helping you choose the investments. You also don't need to use us to do this. You can set this up on your own. And I have a few suggestions how to do that. Big, big, big thing to note it. Note, an UTMA account, when you put money into this account, you, grandma and grandpa, auntie, uncle, your neighbor, whomever, is making an irrevocable gift to your child. That money must be used for the benefit of the child. So put money in there that you know that you can donate to your kid. You never need to take it out for anything else. You can't take it out to pay your mortgage or to go on Disney cruise. But if baby wants to go and when they get older and wants to take a dance class, well, that's for their benefit. You could take it out of that.
So would this vehicle then be the best for saving for education for them? Or is it really more for any other particular costs associated with bringing up the child?
Good question. There are two main ways that people can save for children when they're minors. One is the UTMA account, which we just talked about. The second is a 529 account. And let me just real briefly tell you about that. It's kind of beyond our scope for today, but I want to just like wet your whistle with it. A 529 account in the state of Wisconsin, where we are, it is called an EdVest account. And that is the state of Wisconsin's plan that allows you to invest in a 529 account. What 529 account is, it's a bucket that you can put money in and you can get a deduction on your state income tax return. But there are some handcuffs on that money. You can only use it for education, K through 12, and college. So let's say you send your child to parochial school, or down the street from us, we have Brookfield Academy, which is not necessarily faith-based, but faith-based. but it's still a private school. So you can use it for that. You use it for college. Tuition, books, room, board, a computer, things like that. So if your child doesn't go to a traditional 2-year or 4-year university, you can use it on tech school. For example, let's say your child wants to become a diesel mechanic and they need to buy $1,000 worth of tools to go work on diesel trucks. You can take the money from the 529 account because the child needs the tools for school.
If you'd like to learn more about 529s, we do have a Wealth Seed podcast on that, which is perfect for people that are just new to building wealth. So go check that out if you want more.
I was just going to offer that as a suggestion. We should do a podcast on 529 accounts.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You beat me to the punch. Love it.
Yeah. But today we're primarily talking about the UTMA.
Yes.
Which, tell me more. So dance classes, what else could it really be used for?
So you can take money out of the UTMA account as long as it's being used for the benefit of the child. So fast forward, child is 16 years old. Needs a car. You could take money out of this account to pay for the car. You can use it for schooling. This could be money that's set aside that you could use for down payment in a house or pay for a wedding or help pay for college.
Yeah.
So another big caveat, though, in the state of Wisconsin, the age of majority is 21. When your child turns 21, that money in that account is theirs, free and clear, no questions asked. Okay. So I always give this analogy. Little Johnny or little Susie can cash this account on, and by then it could be, you know, $20,000 and go throw one awesome party at the sorority house or the frat house and buy tons of beer and have it be like hero for the day. Kind of exciting to be hero for the day, but not really a good steward of that money. So I have an idea of how we can leverage that money and make it longer term investment, really long term, for your child.
Cool. Before we go there, I did have a question.
Yeah.
So with the UTMA, let's say, you know, it's the child's 5th birthday and grandma and grandpa want to give a donation to that account. Mm-hmm. What are the tax implications, I guess, for anyone that's donating to that? Is there a benefit there? Or is it just, hey, here's $50 or whatever it is to contribute, and you as a parent can invest that then into the UPMA?
Yes, yes, yes. So rewinding a little bit, your first question you asked me was, are there any tax benefits? No, there is no tax benefit to putting money in an UPMA account. You don't get a deduction on your taxes like you would with the 529 account. The benefit is that you can use that money for anything. It doesn't have the handcuffs on it like you do for 529, which is just for education. And the cool thing that we're going to talk about in a little bit is, how do we leverage that to start a really good chunk of retirement funding for this baby who is coming August 4th.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and the other big benefit that we failed to mention is that it grows with the market then too,
yes.
Right? Like, this is better than just stacking cash away little by little for 18 years of life.
Right. And when I did this, because my brother had kids really young, he was married young and had babies young, and I didn't know anything about this. So I bought my nieces and nephews savings bonds.
Okay.
Well, savings bonds are good, but they're not very lucrative. I want to get into the numbers a little bit and tell you more of the why behind the what. So we talked about what an UPMA is. So that's the bucket. So think of that orange pail at the Home Depot. That's the bucket. We're going to put this money into the bucket, and it can't just stay in cash. To your point, Faith, we need to invest it in the market. So we want a really aggressive stock or a really aggressive mutual fund. And for this scenario, I used a U.S. growth small cap fund.
Okay.
Vanguard has some good ones. Schwab has some good ones. An index fund. Just buy the index and let it ride. On average, small caps are very volatile. They're up high. They're down low. But on average, if you average out all the ups and downs, it's about 12% a year. So let's just go with this 12% a year, okay. Right? Remember at the beginning of our talk, I said a dollar invested today is stronger than a dollar invested down the road. What I want you to do, instead of putting $1 into this account every day, I want you to take $365 and put it in on day one. And then if grandma and grandpa or auntie, uncle throw in cash, just throw in extra cash when you can. This is what we call beginning value versus end value. So like you pay your property taxes either at the beginning of the year or the end of the year. Mm-hmm. The dollar is stronger because it's invested earlier on. So $365 a day times 18 years of life, that is about $6,500 in cash over the course of the child's lifetime. Because $365 a year, 18
Got
years.
It.
The other thing is, remember I said a dollar today invested is stronger than a dollar 13 years from now. So if we take $6,500 and say, what if we discount that to the present day value? If you or grandma or grandpa or whomever put in a lump sum of around $3,000, you never have to add another dollar to this ever. Just let it sit and cook and grow.
Wow.
So either $365 at the beginning of the year, add money when you can, if grandma and grandpa or whoever kick in, or $3,000 around the birth of the baby, never have to add another dollar. Now, $3,000 is a lot of outlay, but that could be a gift from grandma and grandpa, aunties, uncles. It could be a little bit of baptism money, like if families participate in those things. I remember doling out lots of money to my brother's kids and my nieces and nephews as they were growing up.
Yes.
There's opportunities to collect donations.
Yes.
Before we get into real heady numbers, let's take a teeny break and then digest some of what we said, and we'll meet you back in a quick minute.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellen Becker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back. Okay, Faith, where we left off was, we were adding money into the account, either $365 at the beginning of the year or a one-time lump sum of $3,000, and then that's it, letting it sit and cook and grow. So fast forward. Now I'm going to age your kid, and I know this baby's still incubating, but think of your kid as 18 years old.
All right.
Right? So let's say he or she has a job at the Culver's and is scooping scoops and making burgers and earns some money. Your child is now eligible for a Roth IRA.
Yes.
So, but your child is probably working very hard and wants to spend their money on gasoline because they want to go bum with their friends or something. So what we want to do is take the money from the UPMA account, from that orange bucket, and zhuzh it over to a Roth IRA. So By the time they're 18 years old, that small investment of either $3,000 or $365 a day, growing at 12% a year, is going to be almost $23,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's just time in the market, just cooking. That $23,000 is assuming you never took anything out. You just let it sit in the market and cooked and grow. So there was no dance classes. There was no car. There was no nothing.
Sure.
You still can use it for that purpose, like we talked about earlier. But for a demonstration of this strategy, I want you to just let the money sit and cook and grow. So what we want to do, your kid's working, scoop and scoops. We want to peel off money to make a Roth IRA contribution. So let's say your kid was 18 this year, 2026. The Roth IRA contribution maximum for someone under the age of 50 years old, $7,500. So we want to peel out $7,500 from the orange bucket and put it in a green bucket at Menards. Let's stick with my home improvement store. So the green bucket at Menards, that's the Roth. So we're going to peel it out of the orange bucket from the OPMA account, put it in the green bucket, which is the Roth IRA. And I want you to keep it invested really aggressive. Stay at that U.S. growth small cap index fund. Just let it ride. And the reason I say let it ride, your kid's 18 years old. Once you put the money in a Roth IRA, when you wrap it up in that wrapping paper, like it's a present at birthday, you can't take that money out of that Roth IRA until 59 and a half.
Correct.
I mean, technically, you can get it for some reasons if you really, really need to, but I like to keep that money hands off. That's your future self money. Let it sit and cook and grow for your future self.
Right. And the best thing that these 18-year-olds have going for them is time.
Time. Yeah, mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. So every year when he or she turns 19 years old, peel off another $7,500, plunk it in the Roth, keep it going. So eventually I want you, over the course of the next few years, peel off all the money from the OPMA account and move it to the Roth.
But that would definitely need or require some financial education on the parents' part, right?
To know what to do and how to move it from A to B. That's right.
Yes. That, but also educating your child on the value behind the UTMA, the value behind the Roth, mm-hmm. why it makes sense to do it that way instead yeah. of letting them have it at the age at 21. Of 21 yeah. and do whatever with yeah. it.
So in theory, if we started when your son or daughter has their first time job, and it could be they're 14 years old, you know, 15, 16, we could peel it off there. In this scenario, I just chose 18 because I did the math for age 18. But maybe by the time your child is 21, that account will be drained and they can't get at it. Maybe you want to leave a little bit in there, like, hey, you're 21, here's some money, but
sure,
but move it to the Roth. But in this scenario, we're moving it to the Roth. So Roth IRA is a retirement savings vehicle. And you put money in today that has already been taxed. So in this instance, when that money went into the UTMA account, that was money that you earned through a wage or your parents earned through a wage. They pay taxes on their payroll. They put the money in their checking account and they made a decision to make a gift to your child. That money grows in the UTMA account. There's a little bit of tax here and there around the way, but minuscule because it's a teeny tiny account and the child is a minor. So when you put it into the Roth IRA, that money's already been taxed eons ago. The power of the Roth, which is why we like it so much for young professionals like yourself and for young people like your baby, is it grows tax-free. Under the current law, those Roth IRAs will never get taxed. That's on your contributions and your earnings. Remember I said a dollar invested today is stronger than a dollar invested later? Think of all that growth. So we invested, if I go back to my notes here, $3,000 at birth of your baby. By the time that baby's 18, it's grown to almost $23,000. That is $20,000 of growth. $20,000. Now just imagine if that was all in a Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. That $20,000 never gets taxed. Because it's wrapped up in that Roth IRA wrapping paper. That's what protects it. So we want to pluck it out of the UTMA account, the orange bucket, move it to the green bucket, and invest it in the green bucket there. Roth grows tax-free.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Love it. So continuing with my math here, looking at my notes, if we keep that Roth IRA invested in that small cap index fund, growing around 12% a year, by the time that you're child becomes 65 years old and eligible for Medicare, and most folks retire around 65, that $23,000 grows to almost $4
million. Wow.
I know, mind blown. Like, psh. And remember, when we started that investment, it was a dollar a day.
A dollar a day.
So why is it growing so much? And I don't ask you this question expecting answer. I want to tell you the answer. The answer is time value of money. Letting that money sit and cook and grow, and it grows on the growth, and the growth grows on the growth, and the growth grows on the growth. It's just kind of like a tornado in a very positive direction.
I think that's so crucial too, because I don't know if I would have gained that concept had I not landed in the financial industry.
Yeah. Oh, the
right. Like that's something that I learned at an earlier age, and I don't think I would have known that. Nobody would have told me that there's a clear way to wealth with just a little bit over time, or that time is your greatest asset. But it does take diligence, and it does take being really intentional,
and it takes patience to play the long game. And in today's society, we as humans too, not just today's society, but in humans, we want instant gratification.
Absolutely.
And this is the exact opposite. All right, Faith, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back and talk about generational wealth building.
Ellenbecker Investment Group is officially launching our brand new program, The Wealth Seed. This program is designed to give you high-quality financial guidance tailored to your stage of saving, no matter your experience level. As part of this program, you'll get a growing library of short, easy-to-understand financial podcasts, monthly educational emails, interactive workshops, and curated tools like book and media recommendations. Plant your wealth seed today and start growing with us at ellenbecker.com/thewealthseed.
Welcome back. Continuing our conversation. So I want to jump back in where we left off with the math. Remember at age 18, that bucket in the UPMA before we stripped it out and pulled it into the Roth was around $23,000. So we stripped out all the money over the years, made the full Roth IRA contributions, let it sit and cook and grow, and then it grew into $4 million over the course of your child's lifetime when they hit 65. That $4 million is assuming that they never added another nickel to that account, that they never made another Roth IRA contribution, they never had a job that had a 401k, they never did any of that stuff. Now, you work here at Ellenbecker, and as much as you're on your marketing team, you just said, well, no one ever told me this until I worked here. You know a lot more than the average bear just because of the industry that you work in. I know you and your husband are going to counsel this child and educate this child, and this person's going to become an eligible adult who will want to make Roth contributions on their own and will want to put 401k contributions into their work plan. So let's take a look at some math with that scenario there. Okay. So assuming that your child kept up with maximizing that Roth IRA contribution every year. So remember, 2026, the maximum amount is $7,500. What if they did that every year between like age 22, let's say we'll take the money out of the UPMA for the first 4 years and cruise along with that till they hit 65. By the time they hit 65, with the addition of just Roth IRA contributions, no 401k, no anything else, they're going to have $10 million.
Wow.
$10 million. Now, that's future dollars. So it includes a lot of inflation. So let's discount that to the value of a dollar today. Before we do that, when was the last time you bought a pop out of a soda machine?
Ooh, I don't drink soda.
You don't drink soda?
Probably a long time ago.
Long time ago. Let me show you with you my analogy. There's something called shrinkflation. When I was your age, right? We used to get a 12-ounce can of soda out of a machine for 50 cents.
Okay.
Long time ago. Then it became a 20-ounce bottle of soda for a dollar.
Right.
Then it became a 20-ounce bottle of soda for a dollar quarter. Then it became 16.9-ounce bottle of soda for a dollar and a quarter. And the reason it's 16.9 ounces, as I believe it's 500 milliliters, it's the metric version. What's the point of this? The point of this is that we're demonstrating inflation. For 50 cents, I used to get 12 ounces. Now for a dollar and a quarter, which is more money, I get less stuff. So $10 million when your kid is 65, you know, literally 65 years from now, isn't going to have the same purchasing power as $10 million today. So right. I did some math. There's a lot of math in this podcast. You're so kind to do all this math with me. I'm grateful for you. $10 million in the future is going to have the purchasing power of $5 to $1. So if we have $10 million, if we divide that by five, it's going to become $2 million worth today.
Okay.
So, but $2 million in today's money is a lot of money,
right?
To buy things. We have clients at Ellen Becker that have portfolios of $2 million and they're living very comfortable lives. They're doing everything that they want to do and they're not, money is not a hindrance to their lifestyle, which is exciting. But what if your child does more? What if they get a 401k plan through work like we have here at Ellen Becker? Mm-hmm. What if their employer matches their contributions? What if your child eventually just chooses to either have a spouse or have a committed relationship where they have a partner who's also contributing to their retirement funds? You kind of see how this is snowballing in a really positive direction.
No, it just continues to stack and stack.
Exactly. So with a very modest initial investment, $1 a day or $3,000 towards, you know, the first month of life, we can balloon this into a really, really awesome retirement without a lot of heavy lifting on behalf of your child. Take some foresight, take some planning, take some stick-to-itiveness, but it's totally doable.
Right. And my mind is just thinking about, you know, this is a time in life where you are so blessed and gifted, usually by family and close friends, but it's like, do you really need that higher brand high chair or whatnot? Or could you, you know, add something like this to your baby registry or around kids' birthdays and everything like that, where it would be a more meaningful gift over the long run versus just having that one object immediately, right?
I love what you just said. I want to rewind. Add something like this to your baby registry. I never would have thought of that. That's a really good idea.
Well, nowadays you can add cash funds, you can add, you know, it's so easy. Like you can add diaper funds, things like that. But it is also tempting when there's so many products out there and you're like, how much should I spend on a car seat? And is what's worth the higher ticketed price versus not? And not everything is, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's certain things, and to each parent their own, they make those choices. Mm-hmm. But that's what's, you know, those are common thoughts going through my head right now. So thinking about this, like that's an amazing gift toward their future that you could be asking for instead of, you know, another onesie. Yeah,
right. So I'll leave you with one final thought. If your child, if we do this for your kid and everyone donates and kicks in a little bit extra, maybe the initial investment is $5,000 or $6,000 throughout the course of those first 18 years, or, you know, your kid's really savvy and lives a modest lifestyle and really contributes to their 401k. And let's say they, by the time they retire, they have $20 million. Something really astronomically huge. And they could have a really great retirement. But I found in my practice as a certified financial planner that people who live within their means and live on a budget don't automatically become Rockefellers in retirement. So what's probably going to happen is this child who's now a retiree is going to leave behind a really great legacy for his or her, your potential future grandchildren. It could be to charity. It could be to a lot of things, but with a small, modest investment early on, letting it sit and cook and grow in the market can really balloon into generational wealth, which is really, really impactful.
And it all starts with the decision that you make today.
Exactly.
About it.
Exactly.
And so it doesn't matter, even if you grew up, whatever your socioeconomic status was, you know, however your parents handled money, like you get to choose now, which is so exciting. And we talk about legacy planning a lot here at Ellen Becker, and I think it's so important to think, have that long-term mindset and think, you know, just to what you said, how these small decisions over time can really stack up and be impactful for years and years to come.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me today, Faith. It was great chatting with you.
Oh my gosh, I love this.
Congratulations. I hope the rest of your pregnancy goes well and your baby is happy and healthy. And to you, our audience, thank you kindly for joining us on Money Sense. We hope that today's conversation made a meaningful difference in your personal financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.